So, today, which is the, I should know this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, our sermon text will be from Luke chapter 11. Before we read it, I just wanted to say that I really appreciated the song we just sang, Sweet Hour of Prayer, because the message today will be all about prayer. And so it was very fitting that we sing about it, and our thoughts are already kind of there. So it works really good. So it's from Luke chapter 11 that we'll be reading from today. And you can find that on page 962 in your pew Bibles. Read from Luke chapter 11, and that's verses, let's see here. Oh, I apologize, I'm a little mixed up here, but okay, it's verses 1 through 11 today. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, we read in Jesus' name. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatsoever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. These are your words, O gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, this is all about prayer. This is Jesus giving the Lord's Prayer. When we think about prayer, we have some questions. You know, how does prayer exactly work? At least that's what I wonder when I think about prayer. You know, we have these things that we ask God for. They're usually things that we want and we need. And God may or may not give them to us. And sometimes, I don't know if you're the same as me, but I've thought of it like this, that, like, how does this work? If God's going to do what he wants to anyway, why would we pray? Why do we ask God for things if he's just going to give us what he wants anyway? Or can we change God's mind? If we ask him, can we actually change God's mind? And when we look at the story that we heard in our scripture lesson for today, that was kind of what was going on there. It seems like God was, or Abraham was actually like changing God's mind. God had like a set thing he was going to do. He's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham goes and kind of like intercedes and says, well, you're going to do this? There might be 50 righteous people there. Would you actually do that? I can't see that you would do that. And so then he's like bargaining with God to try to get him to change his mind on that issue. And he's partially successful. You know, he keeps going and he's asking God, and God is going back and forth with him. But in the end, God does what God wanted to do anyway. And actually, Abraham's the one he had his mind changed. So we can see that's kind of how prayer works. It actually changes us more than God. And I'm not saying that God can't allow himself to be changed, his mind to be changed. We have examples of great examples in the Old Testament of people praying to God and doing great things. Moses interceding for the children of Israel. He's praying for them and saying, don't destroy them. And God listens to the prayer of Moses. And so we should be encouraged that we can absolutely ask God to pray. We can pray to God. We can ask him for whatever things we need with boldness. That's what we're taught here. And God, he's going to do what's right. And so we shouldn't ever, when it comes to prayer, we shouldn't ever be discouraged. That's the main thing that Jesus wants to teach us. And he teaches it in other places too, that we should always pray. We should never faint. We shouldn't just think it's not worth it to pray. But the thing we need to understand is a lot of times, and well, not a lot of times, but sometimes the answer to our prayer will be no. I want to give a little example of that. Like the other day, I had one of my four-year-old, he asked me kind of a silly question, this request that he had. He said, Dad, can we buy a yacht? He wanted to buy a yacht. He had saw some video on YouTube that there was these yachts, these cool yachts, they're huge boats, and this guy did a tour of it, and he just saw that was the coolest thing. So, Dad, we need to buy a yacht. And, I mean, how do you respond to that? I mean, I was like, well, no, we're not buying a yacht. And that's just where I had to leave that. But I don't want to shut down like the line of communication. And that's how God is with us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to be free. He's our Father. He wants us to ask him. And sometimes the things we ask for are going to be about equivalent of, Dad, can we buy a yacht? He's not going to just give us everything that we ask for. In fact, a lot of times we're misguided in what we ask for. James teaches us that you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly. You know, we're asking for the wrong reasons. So we can thank God that he knows best. And even though we don't, we ask for these silly things sometimes, but that's okay. We're still encouraged to ask. And that's really what we're taught here. We're taught about persistence in prayer. We're taught about, like, just impudence is the word that was used to describe that. What that means is, like, shamelessness. Like, in the story that's given, it really illustrates that. A story about this man who has a friend come to him in the middle of the night. And it's exactly what it sounds like. You know, just put yourself in this man's shoes. you're there sleeping, and all of a sudden you get a knock on the door, and it's your neighbor, and he's like, "Hey, I have these people that were on a road trip, and they stopped in, and I wanted to make them something to eat. They're really hungry, and I ran out of food. Like, can you help me out here?" And it's totally inconvenient. It's like not the right time. It's all of that stuff. But the thing of it is he helps them. This guy gets up and he gives it to him, not because it's his friend asking, but just because of the sheer, like, boldness that he asks. That he was actually willing to come at, like, 1 a.m. and knock on my door while people are sleeping to ask for some loaves of bread. And so he's very freely just, "Okay, I'll give you whatever you need," because of the persistence. And so what Jesus is telling us is that's how we can pray to God. We can go to God and we can ask him for these things that it seems like, "Well, I don't know if I should be asking for this. I'm not sure if this is like the time or the place to be asking for this thing." You know, whether it's like a silly thing, like we lose something and we need to find it, or whether it's a what we'd call a big thing, like we have a major like problem, like a health problem or like a financial crisis or some kind of a thing that like we desperately need help with. You know, it's never the wrong time to ask God for help. You know, whether it's the middle of the night, whether it's whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance that we're in, we always can go to God for help. And that's the way the manner that we pray. That's like our attitude towards it, is we should always pray. Always pray. Just, we ask God. We ask God for everything we need. And so that's exactly what Jesus says, that ask, it shall be given. You know, it's going to be given to you when we ask. If we're seeking, we will find. Knock, it will be open. But God wants to give these things to us. And Jesus says, just taught his disciples how to pray. And he taught them the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is a little bit more complete in Matthew's gospel. It's more the form that we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. But this is partially the Lord's Prayer here in Luke. And the first thing you notice is that it says, "Our Father." Now, that's got to be significant to us. We gotta note that we pray to our Father. So just like I gave the example of my boy coming and asking for a yacht, or, you know, different things that kids, they feel pretty free with their mom and dad to ask them for the stuff they want and need. That's the way we pray. We pray to our Father, and he has a good heart. He's able to give us whatever we need. And so that's really how we see God. You know, we see his heart towards us in prayer, in the gift of prayer. He gave us this gift that we can actually access heaven. We can pray to God in heaven and like have this direct communication. It's just it's a wonderful thing that we're just people. We're dust and ashes, like we heard in the scripture reading. Abraham, he's talking with God. He's like going back and forth with God. And he's like kind of timid to do it. He's thinking like, "I'm just like but dust and ashes, and I'm actually daring to talk to you, but God is letting me. He's inviting me to talk to him, and he's listening." So that's how prayer is. It's even though we're just people, and we can talk to the Almighty God in heaven, he allows this exchange to take place. And he wants it to take place. He wants it to happen. He wants to actually hear what we have to say. And that's where we get a glimpse of God. We get we're put in the spot where we can see God and we can see his heart. When Jesus teaches us this Lord's Prayer, He's actually teaching us something here. He's teaching us all the things that are good for us. He's teaching us the things God wants to give to us. You know, I was thinking of an example of that I could share with you of how this could be like, you know, you could picture it in a natural way, like how you could be in a certain place and you, like, there was a certain spot you had to be in to see a certain thing. And the best example I could think of was something called the Old Man on the Mountain. It's, if anyone's been to New Hampshire, you probably know a little bit about what the Old Man on the Mountain is. The Old Man on the Mountain was just like this thing. It was like a face in the rock that you could only see from like a certain angle. And it fell down in back in like 2003 or something. But anyway, it was like a big deal. People would come. And it was probably just more of a tourist trap where people from New Hampshire would just get the money of all the people traveling in. But anyway, the whole point was that the only spot you could see it was like in a certain spot off of like Interstate 93 in the Franconia Notch, if I remember right. And there's like this big tourist trap place where Old Man on the Mountain viewing area, and you go there and then you can see it from a certain spot. And well, that kind of ended, but there's also an Indian head there now, you know, another one that they found. And I think that one you got to climb up a tower to see it. In a certain spot, you can see the Indian head and all this. But why am I talking about the Old Man on the Mountain and the Indian head? I just, so we could see that, like, in a certain place, you could see a certain thing. Well, in this place, when we come to God in prayer, and we pray the Lord's Prayer, it sets us in a certain place. It puts us actually in a certain position where we can view our Heavenly Father. Much, much better than the man on the mountain. He fell down, and that's all. It was just a big tourist trap. But this is a real thing. You know, Jesus puts us in a certain place with the Lord's Prayer, that we can view God, we can view him for actually just what he is. So like all the things that he wants to give us are actually the things we're asking for. And so it's all lined up right, so there's a perfect view of who God is and the things he wants to give to us. And so it's not like us just going and asking him for a yacht or something like that. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we can be sure that we're asking for all the right things and we're praying correctly. Even if we don't understand it, we don't understand it all the way, but we know that Jesus taught us this thing, and this is right. When you pray, pray like this. And we're praying for all the things that we need and all the things that are good for us. We're praying that God would provide for us, that he would forgive us our sins, that he would protect us from evil and all of those sorts of things that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. And so we have the gift of prayer. We access God by prayer. And it's just this wonderful exchange that we have. And we can do it with boldness. We can go knock on the door. It's going to be opened. We can ask, and he's going to give to us. We can seek for him and we'll find him. And God has set that thing up so we can go there and we can talk to him. And we should use it. We really should pray. We should pray more. I don't know how much you pray now. I know how much I pray. And it's not enough. No, we need to pray more. We need to talk to God, communicate with him about everything. Pray with your family. Pray together. There's this saying that the family that prays together stays together. And it's kind of a trite little saying, but it's really nice. And I think it's really true. That we ought to pray together, because you learn something about each other when you pray together. You learn each other's needs, and you learn how to help each other. And there's like a, not only are you having communion and like a connection with God in that prayer, but you're also having a connection with each other. You're brought together when you pray together. And so we should always do that. And then at the end of our text here, we're told a little bit about God's heart, how God actually knows what good is. And it seems like that would go without saying, but we obviously, we need to be reminded of that, I guess, is that if he puts us in the place of being a father and a son, you know, like, okay, so one of you who's a father, or we can say a mother, if you have a, one of your children comes and they ask you for a fish, are you going to give them a serpent? You know, that's, of course, that's absurd. We wouldn't do that. We know how to give good things to our kids when they ask. And his whole point is that so does God, and so much more so. Because he says that we're evil. You know, we don't have the whole picture. We're incomplete. And we still know how to give good things to our children. So why would we think that God doesn't know how to give good things to us? God absolutely does. He has our very best interest at heart. He's able to give us all the right things. And he's able to give us his Holy Spirit, which is ultimately the greatest gift of all, actually. And that's actually how we pray. We pray through the Holy Spirit. Paul teaches us in Romans that the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. You know, like, so it, I think what he's saying is, like, sometimes our prayers kind of sound like, just, that's all it is. We can't even give words to express what the Holy Spirit is praying for us. And so we pray through the Holy Spirit, and God gives us the Holy Spirit. He knows how to give good things. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever doubt that God will give you good things, because he's forgiven your sins. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins, we're praying. And just one little kind of rabbit trail on that before we close here is forgiving us our sins. Think of that. When we pray that, forgive us our sins, we're praying for other people too. We're not just praying, forgive me my sins. We're actually including all people, really. We're interceding for all people. And so that's important, that we are praying that God would forgive us all of our sins. And he has. Of course, we know he has. But again, we need to learn. Prayer kind of puts us in a place to see God. Prayer, it's not that God necessarily is changing and moving, but we are. We need to be put in the place to view God right and to actually see where God is. And that's when we're put in this place of praying for forgiveness for us, for all people. Then we can acknowledge that God, he has forgiven all of us, all of our sins on the cross of Calvary. Our sins are washed away. We're his children. And we can very, very cheerfully, and we can be happy when we're praying. We can ask God for whatever it is, and he's waiting to hear. And so with that, I hope that you take this to heart, and you continue to pray that your prayer life would be increased, and that you would not hesitate to ever ask God for anything you need. In Jesus' name, amen. So we close in prayer and benediction. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful for the gift of prayer. We pray that each one of us would use it more, and that you would give your Holy Spirit to us in greater measure, that we would always be turning to you in prayer, and we would be having this wonderful communication with you and with each other through prayer. We pray for this all in Jesus' name. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.